sometime during the night, I don't know what time it was, Ezekiel's wheel kept. I went to bed thinking about what had been said here, and you just can't absorb everything. I mean, there was so much said. And it wasn't just what was said, it was what was ingested. And the scriptures kept rolling, and I may be off key. I have known to be. Mr. Obama said he made mistakes in his first year as president. I've been making them 55 years, so he got a long way to go. But I've said this, and we said it last night, and it's been said, our perception creates our belief system. And our belief system brings into physical reality what we believe. But there has to be a perception before there's a belief. You have to see something, and what we perceive, and that's what we've done. We have took the scripture and read it from a religious standpoint, and we've created images. Those images have determined what we believe. We believed in a physical man, Jesus, and thank God, I believe he was. But we have created an image until that's all we can see is a physical image of a physical Jesus. And it plainly says not to know him that way anymore. Well, in order to do that, you've got to destroy the image that we created of him. And with the image came our verbiage, our terminology. And it wasn't so hard for me to do away with the image, but to change my vocabulary and my language about that image, I'll tell you what, it's been a wrestle. Because our whole life we have referred to him as though the him was somewhere out there, and I'm here trying to contact the him out there. And it's always him. It's always about him. And thank God for him. But what I haven't known who the him was, let alone where he was. If it's not a physical, if the him is not a physical Jesus, who is the him? Who do we relate to? So the whole ball game, and some of you, whoever, Avis, will get into some of these things. Because I believe this meeting is one of the most vital meetings I've ever attended. And I don't say that just out of my head. Because we have felt this, and I'm sure you have for days. And it's not just another coming together to try to out-preach somebody or to try to prove to you how smart I am and how dumb you are. And we've been there too. That's not what this is about. I believe this, the crux of this whole thing is to help us to understand that the temple is open in heaven. And to help us understand that the temple is not way off out yonder somewhere, and the heaven is not way off over here somewhere, but the true temple that we really are is now opened in the heavens. And when it said in the heaven, I literally believe it meant that it is not under the control of a physical thing. It is controlled from a higher understanding. And that's really what it is. There's no reason in the world why this physical body cannot enjoy what it was designed to enjoy. And you see, we have separated the joy and the peace we have separated that from this body. We said this body has that, but that's not the truth. That's what this body was designed to be, the very joy of the Lord. Will you say, I got peace. I've got joy. Did y'all ever come to the day where you clapped your hand for joy? I don't know, and I speak for me, but I believe we were designed to be the joy of God. The peace of God that passeth all understanding is the peace of God that I am. Not that I have, it's what I am. And there's everything being blown out there, and you know that, to the winds. And the king, in Psalm chapter 2, it said the kings of this earth have set themselves against the Lord and his anointed. And we're in a day now when you're going to understand who those kings are. The kings are the religious gurus that has had this thing in their hand, and you dance to their tune or you don't dance. So don't think it's strange if your buddy don't want to be your buddy. See, when you don't have any buddies, you don't have to worry about that. So let's preface this so we can get into it. The perception creates your belief. And man, I've had a lot of them, haven't you? And ironically, the most of our beliefs hasn't worked. Amen. Don't get too quiet on me here. See, we quoted, by his stripes I'm healed, in Jesus' name I'm healed, and die and go to a hole in the ground. Yeah. Some ain't right. Come on here now. you've been there? Yeah. Well, by his stripes I'm healed, and didn't have a faintest idea what that was said. We took it as a literal stripe on a literal man. You better go beyond that. You better change your belief system beyond that. Because we proved that that don't work. Hello now. To refer to no individual name, but I got a phone call. I was in North Carolina. And they said, Ray, tell me. And they had just got off the phone with somebody else. I didn't know that till later. Tell me, do you believe that the blood of Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus, saves me? I said, no, ma'am. They didn't give me a chance to explain. My belief system taught me that the blood that flowed from the literal plasma that came out of the body of a man healed me. And all the time, the scripture says, the life of the flesh, the life of it, not the literal blood plasma, but the life of it itself. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Not the blood, the life of it. And it's not a physical man, it's the life of it. And that wasn't what they wanted to hear. And they had just got off the phone with another brother, and he told them the same thing. Well, they were my buddy until I said that. And they haven't been my buddy since then. And then, you know, it's amazing how people love you when you believe what their belief system tells them to believe. But suppose you have a different belief system. Well, what? Now here, we get in the nitty gritty. God is. Irregardless of my belief system, I'm not going to change who he is what the substance of God is. I've tried that too. I've tried my best to get God to believe what I believed. If you'll tell the truth, you have too. I've even picked up the scripture. And I said, now look at here. You just look here now, God. You just look here, God. Don't ever do that. I literally have. I mean, bless God, God. And all the time, most of this, God didn't say it. I mean, we were in a northern state. In the south, if you come to my house, we'll greet you with a glass of water. You want something to drink? And it's a glass of water, a cup of coffee, or a glass of tea. Well, we was in this place one day, you want something to drink, and they bring you a glass of wine. Well, see, my Pentecostal belief system said, oh. But you see, their belief system didn't tell them that. Now, whose belief system right? Mine or theirs? And it's all on a belief system. Now, listen to me. Most of our belief system has not been based on truth. It has been based on perception of what we've seen. And what you've seen has been a picture painted by some preacher most of the time. Y'all can love me or just love me. I don't care. And I was thinking this morning, Elijah told the man, said, go see what you can see. He said, I don't see nothing. But you see, Elijah knew there was something there. He said, well, go back and see again. You see, Elijah wasn't looking for a cloud. He was looking for rain. Yeah. Elijah's perception wasn't a cloud. Elijah's perception was rain. You'll hear this in a minute. Most people have been content with just a shadow instead of substance. Yeah. Right. Guy come back. Oh, I see a cloud. Elijah didn't see a cloud. He seen rain. Yeah. It all depends what you perceive. So when they offered me a glass of wine, see, they believed that was their belief system. My belief system said that's bad. But I would drink a glass of iced tea loaded with sugar. Or coffee that's loaded with caffeine. It all revolves around a belief system that has created an image up here that's bad and this is good. I'm going to tell you now. I'm going to tell you something. The quicker you get rid of that thing of the knowledge of good and evil, the quicker you'll be made whole. Wilt thou be made whole? I'm going to tell you now. If you're going to be made whole, you've got to leave the pool crowd. And that ain't easy to do. Because we've been billing around that thing for 40 years. But our day has arrived.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's today.
My day has come. My day's here. And I welcome you to my day, to my world. What's the old song? Welcome to my world. Won't you come on in? So the question was asked, will thou be made whole? It said nothing about healing. And let's try to separate the two words. Healing pertains to physical outwardly, and sometimes it can pertain to an inwardly hurt of the heart. And I hope Avis will, I hope she does get into this. This physical body has seven energy centers in it. And in medically, scientifically, they're called glands. Is there another word for it? What did you say?
Endocrine glands,
see. The pineal gland, the pituitary gland, all these glands. But they all relate to the seven seals. And you see, we've always looked at the book of Revelation as a book sealed with seven seals. The book, right there, that has been sealed with seven seals. It also refers to the seven spirits of God. It refers to the seven candlesticks that's in the temple. I hope we can say this and hear this. And everything that God is right here. That choked you, didn't it? How many believe that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? Be honest. How many really believe that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're the house of God. You're the holy habitation of God. And I'm going to tell you now, and she said it last night, God never sees you in any other picture except a holy habitation that He lives in. God never sees your, what you call your heart attack. It's yours, not His. And I'm not being cruel here, because there's a lot of, we've all seen people suffer from different things. But it's always mine. But God never sees you like that. That's an image that you've created that you relate to every day of your life. And in that image comes a fear. You're afraid to break the image, afraid you might go to a hole in the ground. So here comes this pill, and this pill, and this pill, and this pill. And I was in a doctor's office not long ago. And while I was there, here come a man in with a plastic sack. I'm not kidding you, literally full of prescription medications. I looked at him and I thought, oh my God. And I wasn't critical of that situation. I didn't know how to respond to what I was feeling in here. I thought, my God. Now listen to this. I didn't come here to save the world. I come here to be a savior of this house. Until this world is saved, you can forget about saving anybody else. Love me here now. I know where I'm going. But you see, you have so many images of the you that is absolutely not truth. And you talk to that image every day of your life. You really do. And it's always, I've got this and I've got this and is this mine? I'm mine. It ain't. And I'm taking a lot of time here. But if we leave here without a drastic turnaround, I'm going to be disappointed. And this is not to condemn anybody. This is not a condemning thing. We've come to open the book. To break the seals. To get to those energy centers that have been blocked up. Avis dealt with my daughter-in-law Thursday night. One night. Let me explain this. These different seals, the different centers of our being. Chakra. There are seven inwardly and 20 some outwardly. Some relates to the physical, some relates to the spiritual. But when the books are, when the book is open, you find they're all commingled right here. Right here. And it's not about laying on hands. Let me say this. To be healed, when he asked a man, will thou be made whole? Read it in John chapter 5. You have a lot of time. Sitting by a pool. Been swallowing that doctrine for 38 years. Went from Pentecost to sonship, from sonship to kingdom. Now we don't know where it's going. But it's a doctrine that has created an image. Let me say that again. It's a doctrine that has created an image. And you're trying to lay hold of an image by a doctrine that you heard. The doctrine created a belief. Y'all like me now? Yeah. A doctrine created a belief. And the belief created an image. And you're trying to conform to an image. I'm a manifested son. Don't know what the word means. They don't know what it means. Or I'm Pentecost. No, you're not Pentecost because the day of Pentecost fully come 2,000 years ago. So if you're a Pentecost, you're living in the dead man's world. Come on here now. Somebody said, well, I speak in tongues. Yeah. Yeah. And that's been the problem. We've been speaking in tongues. Nobody knew what we were saying. But the unknown tongue has come now to unveil mysteries. We'll speak in a tongue in these days that no generation has ever heard. Because there's things now that has never been in the heart of a man. The eyes of a man has never seen it. Why do we keep trying to go back and relate the now to something that has been? Because now is in the heart of a man. Things that's never been in the heart of a man. So the chakra. And I'm not saying that word right. Okay. It literally means wheels of light. Wheels of light. Well, the wheels of light out there ain't worth a flip if they're not in here. And this is where the wheels of light is. So sometime in the night I woke up with Ezekiel vision. A wheel. Wheels of light. And it would do you good to go home and to study that. Yeah. And to see everything that come out of that wheel of light. Yeah. A wheel in a wheel. Yeah. A house in a house. Go to Ezekiel chapter 43 and watch where the sun comes up in the east to the house. Yeah. Understanding has come. Yeah. So the wheel is in the wheel. And we have generators, three different sets of them. I have one at my house, and two of the family has generators. If the current goes off, and I stood and watched that thing one day, and I can flip a switch on my meter box and disconnect to the power grid, and go on my own. And I watched that thing one day. The generator has got fields in it that feeds it to a box that's computer program. What that generator feeds into the box, that box feeds into my house. But if it creates. It'll create energy that puts it into the box, and the box puts that same energy into my house. So the wheel or the chakra, once they're open, allows the current, the life that's always there, it releases it, let it come through the box into my house. And I thought, well, hallelujah. Now, will thou be made whole? I'm going to ask you this question seriously, and you answer your own heart. Wilt thou be made whole? And it literally means to be restored. And I know, somebody says, oh, I'm old, well stricken in years. I'm old and well stricken, and that's the word, well stricken in years. And you see, you've got the seed planted in you somewhere. Well, I know that's what God said, but this is the way I am. And all thoughts of being, of you being restored is completely out of your mind. You're hanging on. You're hanging in there. And I asked somebody not long ago, I said, what are you hanging to? I said, well, how you know? Oh, I'm hanging in there. I said, what are you hanging to? And, I mean, it's a vocabulary that we've adopted that we need to deal with. I'm not hanging in there. I am there. I am something that you can hang on to. That's not bragging. That's just facts. What hope do you give somebody else? If somebody looks at you everyday life, and I'm hanging in there, I'm well stricken in years. Now, I'm not being funny here, and I'm not making fun of anybody that's got a physical infirmity. Probably all of us have got them somewhere. That's not my intent. I'm trying to get us to break an image that we created by what we believe. If you don't get rid of the image, you'll always go back to it. You'll come into your meeting, you'll get so blessed and glory to God, and tomorrow the first thing you see is that image. You pop up there, oh me again. This is pushing through my being, so I'll say it. Of his own will begot he you, says us. Of his own will begot he us. How many remember the rest of how he did it? How many remember that scripture? Of his own will begot he us. Remember how he did it? By word of truth. That's what it says. Word of truth. Word of truth. Word of truth begot me. Word of truth begot me. But you see, I created a lot of me's that word of truth didn't have anything to do with. It doesn't only tell you why he did what he did. He tells you how he did it. But then he tells you why he did it. How many remember the rest of that scripture? That you might be a kind of first fruits. And go follow it through, and it means an exact lookalike. See, the true you looks exactly like the truth that begot you. The image that religion has created of us is so far removed from reality, and it's become a world that we have learned to live in. God, I feel this all the way in my toes. The real you that he begot, he did it by a word of truth. That you would be an exact lookalike of that which begot you. So what are you? Word of truth.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was God. And the Word was God. Anytime you see in the scripture, anytime you see God, it refers to Word. Anytime you see Word, it refers as God. And we cover this, but I'll mention to you, and I'll refresh your mind of this. Genesis chapter 1, And we were talking, Reese and I were talking about this last night. Genesis chapter 1 says in the beginning. John chapter 1 says in the beginning. Third John says in the beginning. Or little John says in the beginning. Three beginnings. Go to number 19. God's not a man. If God's not a man, how can God have a beginning? Hear me now. So the King James translator has so misconstrued the true meaning of Genesis 1. It don't say in the beginning God. Because the moment we read that, we have immediately formed an image of a great big old hairy, frosty head, gray-headed man with a club in his hand. God's gonna get you. Oh, if you drink a glass of wine, God's gonna get you. Yeah, but I tell you, the country, if you drink a cup of coffee, God's gonna get you. It's a belief. How many knows God ain't out to get you? He's already got you. Y'all might well have some fun. I am. Don't you care? Don't you know that God don't care what you do? You mean God there keeping tabs? Oh, Joe down there in Tennessee. I seen what he done. I got a record right here. Joe, you better watch it, because one of these days I'm going to zap you. And Joe, everything you've done, I've got recorded right here in my book, and you're going to answer to me someday. That's sheer stupidity. But that's an image that has been created by religion. God don't care what you do, because God predestined you before you ever left Father's house to come here to do His will. Somebody said, oh, you better be careful. That's my problem. I've been careful long enough. I'm going to be who I am now. Do you believe, you really believe God begot you by word of truth? You really believe that? I believe that. I'm taking a lot of time, and I will choose some of you. But they told me a long time ago that one picture is worth how many words? So two pictures would be worth a lot of words, wouldn't it? For years, I used the board to teach the tabernacle of Moses. I knew every rope, every stake, what it all meant. You did too. And I was teaching one time somewhere. And I heard here, I heard this. There is no substance in a shadow. No substance in a shadow. And that's all that tabernacle was. It was a shadow. Had no life in it. But just stinking flesh. Amos. Baby, come here and put this on the board for me. I can never do that. So neat. How'd you do that? When I seen this drawing, all kinds of bells began to ring in my head. Of course, I have bells ring up there when I don't see them sometimes. You know. But there was such a truth portrayed in this. See, to be made whole starts inwardly, doesn't it? It starts with a mind that can create a different image. I've been one of the world, but I don't believe this. I don't believe this. This is what I believe. This is what I don't believe. Y'all ever do that? Yeah. You ever done that? Well, this is what I believe. Why do you believe it? This is why I don't believe that. Why don't you believe that? Yeah. Well, see, you believe or don't believe primarily what somebody else has put up there to start with. Somebody had said something that caused you to create an image. And everything you try to be, you try to live by that image that you see. But there's been so much mixture that we grew up with, this is good and that ain't good. I believe this, I don't believe that. Why? Why? Okay. Thank you. You're a pretty good artist. I want you to look at this and then look at yourself, because this is what you look like. The thing that I didn't understand for a long time was to how to correlate the physical and the spiritual with the mental. Do you understand what I'm saying now? And this is the physical. This right here, this man, this woman, this being is all physical. But above that physical is something we've all tried to attain to. We've all tried to bring this up here down to this. Because we've always had this image taught to us that you're really no good. You're just an old sinner. And the best you can hope for is to get saved by grace. That never was truth. That was an image that I had that was taught to me. That's not the truth. And I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again this morning. Somebody called me and said, Ray, I found where Adam went to sleep, but I never did find where he woke up. I said, Adam won't never wake up. In Adam, you went to sleep. Now, I hope we can hear this. The word sleep and the word death is synonymous. Adam died, and Adam won't never be resurrected. Adam wasn't a man, as we know a man. Somebody said, Adam was resurrected. Adam ain't never woke up. Eve, the mother of all living, came out of that dead form after that form went to sleep. There never was a separation until something died. Go to the Song of Solomon, chapter 7. It begins in chapter 1, goes all the way through the... And it's one of the most beautiful pictures now to me, one of the most beautiful pictures of that soul that separated from Adam in sleep. It lost consciousness. It lost awareness. And that soul, from that day to this, has been trying to find the lover that she came from. You hear what I'm saying now? Tell me, have you seen him that my soul loveth? Then she said, well, it was just a little that I passed from all that other stuff. I found him. But it ain't a thing in the world, but the spirit and the soul wanted to come back together in the original state. In reality, they've never been separated. And I can prove it by the book now. Religion had to separate them in order to build their kingdoms. So here we go. God will save your soul. You come on down here and God's going to save your soul. So we go down here, supposed to get our soul saved. And then they spend another 40 years telling us how bad we missed the mark. And if we don't come every Sunday and we don't pay our tax. What they call a tithing system, anything wrong, but a taxing system. They tax you. Yeah. And I talked to a sister in Starkville, a black lady, told me how a church had done her husband. Because he wouldn't pay his tax, they put him out of the house. A church did that. A church that he had been part of for all his life. He got to where he couldn't pay his tax. And here come the government.
Yeah.
Y'all might well laugh because you know it's truth. But it's an effort to bring, and she has on her board something that will clarify this. The marriage supper of the Lamb. How many has heard about it and talked about it? Someday we're going to a marriage supper. Great big long table. All these saints are sitting on that table. And Jesus himself is going to come and serve you. Well, the only serving he ever did was wine. So what are you going to do if you don't believe in drinking wine? Let me tell you, I don't care what y'all drink. I don't care if you drink nothing. I'm just telling you something. And let me tell you this. You won't ever offend me by what you believe or don't believe. I don't give a rip. I just don't. I don't care what you believe or what you don't believe. I just don't care. Because I know how you got it. Same way I got it. And most of them never worked. It ain't never worked. But we wouldn't give it up. We're afraid to. My time is about finished. I'm going to have to. So there ain't been a thing in the world. The marriage supper of the Lamb is when that soul and spirit come back to their original place. And understanding has come, hey, we've never been separated except right here.
Right here.
Right here. Right here. Your soul ain't never been lost. Do you mean to tell me the Father that sent you here has never known? You mean you got lost somewhere in the... I'm trying to quit. So here's my physical being. Now, above me, here we go. And I won't deal with so much. But what I didn't understand was the difference in the spirit domain and the divine domain. Divine domain is where all things is controlled from. The spirit domain come from the divine domain into my being. Now look what he comes through. There are three layers or divisions of the mind. And look where they're at. Just below the control of the spirit domain. You've got the natural mind that receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Now let me explain that. Spiritual things is foolishness to a religious mind. You could not go into any church system tomorrow and teach this. It'd be foolish to them. You would be some kind of a bad. But the natural mind receiveth not the things of God. And we give that thought a minute. Anytime you hear truth, or anytime truth comes to your house, and you want to do away with it, guess what it proves? Somebody said, I ain't never heard that before. That's right. But if we don't get willing for truth to pass through us, and I didn't say we, I said let it pass through me. Because if truth is allowed to pass through me, it'll disrupt everything that you've ever believed was right that wasn't right. Bob Mumford said it's like a bulldozer that'll plow and root up everything in there. I don't believe this. Let truth come through there and see what you believe once truth comes through there. Hello. You'll be amazed. What you say you believe now, that won't be there when truth has finally passed through there. why don't you believe certain things? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Well, I know why. Well, this right here. No, wait a minute. That's only 400 years old. How old are you? Ain't nobody shouting the aisles. You mean you're going to base everything that you believe on this right here? Let me tell you this. What you say you believe here, you create an image when you read it. Go to Revelation chapter 13 and watch them create an image. And watch them stand there and talk to that thing until the first thing you know, that image is calling fire down out of heaven. Go read it. It's there. It's an image. And that image can do a lot of things at your discretion. It's you again. This rules this after it gets through. Now listen to me. I heard this in my heart. There's never been a separation except right here. You've got the natural mind that receiveth not the things of God. I'm going to say this again. If truth comes to your house and you reject it because of something that you've heard or maybe something you've read, you don't know the spirit of truth is in you. That's hard saying, but that's the truth. The spirit of truth that's in you knows all things. And you don't have to be afraid of getting something that's not right. So you got a natural mind. Then you've got the carnal mind. Where'd it come from? This right here. This right here. This creates a carnal mind. Okay. The carnal mind is not a thing in the world, but grace trying to mix with law. And here comes all the do's and the don'ts. I can do this, but I can't do that. That's all the carnal mind is. Now, what does it say it is? To be carnal mind is what? To be carnal mind will keep you forever separated. That's the debt. It's separation. The end of a lifestyle. It's over. You know. And yet, in the Christ that you are, there's no such thing as death. John 5 says it. If you were dead, believe in me and you live. Believe me and you will never die. What does that mean? I ain't just talking to you. I'm talking to us. Because I know in my being, and Ruth said it yesterday in the meeting yesterday at the motel. We can go places in this meeting. I dare to say we can go places in this meeting that nobody has ever gone. If we will to do it. And I don't know about you, but I will to go. I will to go. I don't have to understand nothing, but I will to go. I will let truth pass through my being. I will let truth. I will let truth. I will let the divine domain rule. I don't care. To be carnal-minded is death. Turn the coin over. To be spiritual minded is what? Now look what it says. It don't say the spiritual mind gives you life and peace. He gives me life. Wait a minute. Not so. Not so. That's a verbiage that we've been taught. Oh, it's him. He gives. No. Whatever he gives you, you become. If you don't become it, you're always going to be dependent on somebody else. Let me, I say this with love in my heart. See. Let's say it out loud. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Before there can be peace, there's got to be a consciousness raised to an awareness that you're never separated. If you don't have that, you ain't got the peace of God that passeth all understanding. See? We stay here forever, and I know some of you can come and help me out. I'll take my board down. You put yours up.